In Matthew chapter 2, the wise men came seeking to Herod, seeking where is he that is born king of the Jews. So we have in the life of Christ the king moving in and out amongst the people that he had come to minister to. Now, and here in the king's departure, in verse 12 and 13, we see, first of all, the ministry of John the Baptist coming to a close and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ opening up. He that was the forerunner was finishing up, and he that was to follow, whom John talked about, was starting up. And then John was fulfilling his ministry, we notice, in prison, and Jesus was fulfilling his ministry in preaching. For we read later in the chapter that he began to preach from that time. When Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, you know, one of the things that is often noted in this day of grace, in this passing generation, is that God oftentimes, well, the workmen vary, but the work goes on. And I know recently we've seen a number of God's workmen promoted to glory, and some soon to be, it seems, if the Lord sees fit. But we thank the Lord that His work goes on, you know, and it will go on until He sees fit to come to take His own and claim them to be with Him forever. And here, John the Baptist, who had an outstanding ministry, we recall we heard about him some weeks ago and how he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ our Lord, and he could preach in those days and the same essential message as the Lord, turning, repent, that is, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and turning them and their hearts to the Savior. But his ministry was coming to a close, and now the Lord began a public ministry here after his baptism. Now, one interesting note here is that John the Baptist, he pointed to one that was mightier than I, he said. Now, what went through the mind of John, we wonder, as John himself was cast into prison, and here he had pointed to one that was mightier than I. Why couldn't the one that was mightier than I come and deliver him out of his bondage or out of his prison term? But we know that that is indeed the course that he was appointed to take. And remember, when John himself sent from prison and asked, "Art thou he that should come?" he began to doubt if Jesus was really the Messiah, as it were, and the Lord sent a message to him. And it's interesting to note what the Lord said to John. Remember what he said to John in Luke 7. He said, amongst other things, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." You know, oftentimes when things arise in our life, We look up and we tend to say, "Why, Lord? Why does this happen?" But the Lord, notice His words, He says, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." In other words, when things crop up in our experience, we look at them not as accidents, but as incidences that the Lord brings into our experience to help and to further ourselves along, for we are being conformed to His image. And so the one that was mightier than I chose to leave John there in the prison. And it's the same with us, that we could, if only we would listen to the words, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." In other words, let my business be your business. You go about it. I'll carry on in what way that I deem fit. But then what he said about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 7, you know, it was kind of a word of reprimand, as it were, to him, but about him, he said, you know, "There's not a greater prophet that hath arisen. What did you go out to see?" he could say. "A reed shaken with the wind," and so forth. He spoke of him very highly. He said, "There hath not arisen a greater prophet of those born of women. There has not risen a greater prophet than John the Baptist." So, just like our Lord, isn't it, to speak highly of those whom He loves and has brought to Himself. So there's the king. Another thing about the king's departure, it says, "Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum." Now, Capernaum is later noticed as his own city. He chose to be identified with Capernaum. Now, why was it? Well, we noticed that it might be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled. He came. There was a reason for his departure. Oftentimes in our experience, you know, we hear many would say, "Well, you know, I don't like the surroundings here. I don't like the weather here. I don't like the job here. I'm going to move somewhere else." Well, that's all well and good. But you know, when the Lord moved, and when the people of God move, it should be because the Lord has led us so. Remember when Abraham was called to go out, he went out, but he went out in response to the Lord calling him to move, you see. And so it is in our experience, if we would look unto Him who alone is worthy for to guide us. The steps, the Bible says, of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we should seek to be ordered by the Lord. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? What way wilt Thou have me to go? And so forth. And every event in our life should be, we should look unto Him who alone is worthy and able to guide. And then the king's devotion. The king's devotion, verse 14 through 17. You know, he went down to this place, Galilee of the Gentiles, that it might be fulfilled. Again, that word is brought to our attention, that it might be fulfilled. His first and foremost devotion was to carry out what God had called him to do. You know, and we have a guidebook, don't we? The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We come, as it were, with a full instruction book. You know, God has not left us in the dark. And the Lord, it says, oftentimes when He spoke, you could tell that there was much time spent in the Word of God. He hath given me the tongue of the learned. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He giveth me instruction in my ear and so forth. And so you and I can follow in that same example as the Lord that received instruction and desired to fulfill the Word of God. You remember what Paul said to one of these servants. He said, take heed, Archippus, to the ministry to which the Lord hath called thee, that thou fulfill it. You see? So you and I, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That we should fulfill what the Lord has called us in our own individual experiences. None of us, not all of us, can be Billy Grahams and so forth and go out and see the thousands come in. But it's a blessing. We were up there at the camp and you can see how the Lord individually could work with one person. Yes, there may be a speaker, a counselor, a director that works with many, but we love the fact that we can all individually go forth and seek to be a blessing to an individual life and seek to see them come and one to the Lord. As we go forth fulfilling the Word of God, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And go forth with our steps ordered by Him, we can see the Word and the work of God forwarded, you see. And that's what the Lord did, that it might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And it was there that it said, a light has arisen. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing to be able? The Lord said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But then He went around and He said, you are the light of the world. So as you and I go forth, we can be a light. You know, when we come into a dark room, do we make it darker by what when we walk into the room, or do we enlighten the room? You know, Do the dirty jokes continue? Does the conversation that wouldn't be pleasing God, does that continue? Or when we come in, do we cause light to come into the room, as it were? When a believer comes in, are we following the light and not walking in darkness? Or does the room get brighter when we walk in, you know? That's what we want to be like. We don't want to be part of the dark crowd that is in the world in which we live. We want to be a light. Ye are the light of the world. We don't want to hide our light under a bushel. When the Lord came to this land, here was a people that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. But there, the light shone. The light has sprung up. So where the Lord walked, light came up. And so you and I can follow in that such a step and bring light to those blessed. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be called, isn't it? Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, when we go forth into this world, whether it's at work, whether it's in the neighborhood, whether it's in the school, wherever it may be, do we bring light into those that we gather around? See? Or are we just part of the dark world, you know, and sort of hide ourselves and creep around? Nobody knows that I'm a Christian. I'm just going to leave it like that. No! We want to show forth the light of God, you know, to shine, to have what's inside shine out, you see. And of course, that has a lot to do with how we're plugged in, doesn't it, you know? Are we plugged in every day? Are we getting our charge, you know, by coming to the Lord and being filled with His Spirit, being filled with His Word? It's like one of those they have today, of course, they've had for a while, the rechargeable tools, rechargeable lights, you know. I have one now that sort of is annoying because when it just doesn't go eventually dead, but I'm using and all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. You know, it hasn't had its charge in a while, so it just goes dead. Now, what about you and I? We have the privilege of every day, right, renewing the path of the justice as the shining light that what? Shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So we can go and renew ourselves, looking into the light of God's Word and bring light to those that we come in contact with. So there the king's devotion was that he might fulfill the Word of God and that he might bring light to those that sat in darkness. Let us follow in those steps. And then in verse 18 through 22, we have the king's disciples. Jesus walking by the sea, he called his disciples. Let me just back up here. I wanted to say something, excuse me, about verse number 17. Back to the king's devotion. His devotion was as well preaching. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now that is, the, of course, a similar message to what John the Baptist had preached in chapter number 3. But I'd just like to think with you just for a brief minute about that statement. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, we understand in the Greek, is a word that means to think differently. The base of the word has to do with our mind. You know, what is it that we think like? What is our, you know, the Bible says that our mind should be conformed to His image, or to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, to think differently. Here was the Lord, the second man, the Lord from heaven, coming down to an earthbound people and saying, repent, think differently, you know. For why? The kingdom of heaven. Here was one that was from the kingdom of heaven, and he was coming down to turn the hearts of the children toward the Father, to his kingdom. And we might ask ourselves, to which kingdom am I subject? The Lord said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what kingdom? We understand that in the world in which we live, the Bible refers to Satan, and even the Lord refers to Satan as the prince of this world. And so the apostle follows, and he says, the god of this world. There is, whether we realize it or not, opposing kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness. Remember when we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His, or from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. There is a power of darkness, a kingdom of darkness, and a power or kingdom of light. And so it is that we ask ourselves, to which kingdom am I subject? Am I going forth to be a subject in the kingdom of God, or am I trying to straddle the fence? We tried to encourage the young people last week. You know, you can't walk. You can't serve two masters, walking down a fence, trying to be popular with the world and to be popular with Christ. It can't be done. The Lord Himself said it. You can't serve two masters. To which kingdom am I subject? You know, it doesn't make sense to give ourselves to the kingdom of this world, because this world was going to pass away. We were hearing, well, some of the verses earlier about the things that are in this world will be burned up. They'll soon pass away. So why would I give myself to this passing world? The Bible says of His kingdom there shall be no end, you see. So we have the privilege of serving Him. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes this is what we say. We paraphrase that. We say, my kingdom come, Your kingdom go. We do that. We may not say that in so many words, but that's how we live and that's how we act. I'm the boss around here. My kingdom come. I'm the one that calls the shots around here. Well, the Lord was one that promoted the kingdom of heaven. The Lord could say later that my kingdom is not of this world, or my servants would fight. So we thank the Lord that our kingdom is not set up in here in this world, but the kingdom of God is within. You know, we seek to allow the Lord as King to reign in our life, and we go forth as a subject about His business to fulfill His will. And then it says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that is, approaching or made near. The Lord often used this phrase. He said, the hour is at hand. Here He said, the kingdom is at hand. The hour is at hand. He could say of Judas, he is at hand that doth betray me. And the Jews' Passover, John could say, is at hand. So it was right there approaching. Now, what does that mean? Does it have to be immediately? Well, not necessarily. The Lord or the Spirit of God uses this phrase in another section where He said, the end of all things is at hand. It was not necessarily immediately, but it was at hand. Remember, we're dealing with the eternal God. We're in this little niche called time. And so He could say the kingdom of God is at hand. We heard this morning, so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the same word we understand in the Greek as at hand. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So we thank the Lord that one day soon His kingdom will be fully revealed. And wonder of wonders, those that know Him will serve with Him. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Somebody once called this scene that we're involved in here, training for reigning. In other words, that the King of Kings trains those that He wants to reign with Him, you see. And we have this training camp, as it were. If you're a believer, now this only applies to believers. If we're believers here, sometimes the situations and the circumstances that are part of our experience, you know, we wonder why. But the Lord is training us, isn't He, to put us into service. He has a big universe, galaxy out there to rule one day, you know. Sit thou here. Hey, what did He say to he said to the disciples, that shall sit and rule with me on the 12 thrones and so forth. And so you and I, if we suffer with Him, the Bible says what? We shall reign with Him. And this is, again, only for believers that will have the privilege of walking now in our life, following the King, you know, marching on with the banner of the cross, following the King, and seek to follow in His steps and to allow Him to train us to follow Him and to reign with Him. And then the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then we get on to King's disciples in verse 18 through 22. Jesus walking by the sea. There's two sets of disciples called here. It says He saw two brethren, and then He said, the leader sought followers. And it says they left immediately. It says there of Simon and Peter and Andrew, that is. They were casting a net, and it says in verse number 20, they straightway, or your translation may say immediately, they left their nets and followed Him. Now, there's a good point here. When the Lord calls, we should immediately respond. Now, what we have in these two is a good lesson. Here, they immediately responded. Now, obviously, the Gospels show that there was other meetings between the Lord and them. But what happened here is they immediately left their nets and followed Him. But if we look at other portions of the Scripture, we can see that they went back to fishing. They went back to fishing. In Luke chapter 5, we read there that they had fished all night and so forth, and the Lord came to them and used their boat and so forth, and then they departed and they left all and followed Him. But you see, they were back at what their business was. Now, it seems that after this, in Luke 5, it says that they were partners, it says, with James and John. Peter, we wonder if he'd formed a fishing business, because it says he was partners with James and John. They were partners with Simon, it says in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 10. And the Lord used the ship, which was Simon. So there's another passage where, yes, they immediately left here, but it seems that they later went back to fishing. And then in John 21 again, it says they went back to fishing. But then, of course, the Lord called them, and later we see how they went out to serve Him, as it were, full time. So I believe it's like that in our experience. Oftentimes we respond, yes, Lord. And then we have, we begin to have doubts or whatever it may be in our human experience, and we go back to what we know best. But it's best, as it were, to complete the stage, you know, and to follow the Lord fully and completely. And that's exactly what we see later, because Peter, we read right here, in fact, what did the Lord say? Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's interesting that it was the same occupation to which the Lord called them, right? Fishers, same occupation, but with a different result. In other words, now they were going out not to catch the abundance of the fish, you know, so they could eat and sell and so forth, but they were going out to fish for men or for people to come into this kingdom. And so you and I, in whatever the Lord has called us to, we could be a fisher of men. We can go out and seek to see some come to the Savior, wherever we may find ourselves, in the office, in the neighborhood, and to seek by our life and by our lip to be, how is this accomplished, by the way? To follow Me, you see? follow me. So what do I do every day? Am I a follower? Do I follow the Lord? Following Jesus, we sing every day by day. Do I always follow in His steps? Do I open the day with prayer? Do I open the day with the Word of God? Do I seek to make His business my business? You see, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's the way it's done. Do I need courses on how to witness? Yes, they're all helpful, but follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's a wonderful privilege, and that's what occurred in their experience. But not only was it Peter and Andrew, but it was James and John and the king's disciples here. He called two other, James and John. James, it says, and John were in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Now it says they left the ship and their father. Notice, doesn't it say that? It says they left, and going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Only the hired servants, it says in Mark, were left with the father. Now, it causes a practical question here, because I don't know that we ever hear much more of Zebedee. We read that the mother of Zebedee, the wife of Zebedee came and requested of the Lord that they, James and John, she said, "Hey, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, let one sit on your right, one on your left." You see, where was Zebedee? I don't know. It just causes us to wonder maybe if it just tore him up or broke his heart, whatever. But James and John left their father's business, you see, and followed the Lord. And we've heard many testimony of those that have responded, those missionaries and others that have gone into, that have left behind the father's business, thriving, making a success in this world, but they've left it all behind to follow what they knew the Lord had called them to do, and it left behind a broken-hearted father, you see. And so, that's what the Lord had said, though. He said, if you come after me, you know, you've got to, as it were, hate your father and your mother. The love for me much excel all other loves. And so, here, James and John, it says, they left the ship and their father, and they followed him. And that should be so, shouldn't it, in our experience, as we seek to be a disciple or a follower of the Lord Jesus. And then it says in the last section that we're going to look at, the king's demonstration. Now, one of the wonderful things about the Lord Jesus is he's the great example. You know, it's a hard thing to follow a master that all he does is shout orders and doesn't teach by example. We've had the privilege, you know, over the years of following those that teach by example, that just go about and do what the Lord has called them to do, and so we have the privilege of following after. And what did the Lord do? It says in verse number 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. Now, the Lord, in the king's demonstration, it says three things. It says he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. And so you and I can seek to do the same, teaching. Imagine having the best of teachers there in that part of Galilee, the best of preachers, showing how it is to be done. And three times that in this chapter 4, the phrase is used, followed him. In the early chapter, it says that the two, Simon and Andrew, followed him. And in verse number 20, James and John, they followed him, two more. And then verse 25, the very last verse of our chapter, it says there followed him great multitudes. And that's a wonderful thing, I think, if we take a hold of that, that as each of us, you know, sometimes we're overwhelmed with the task that the Lord has put before us. But if I just take, as we were considering earlier, talking to some of the saints, one day at a time, one step at a time, and do what the Lord has put before me, you in your small corner and I in mine, and follow the Lord in what He is giving me right now, others will follow behind, you see, because what happened here, there followed Him a great multitude of people. And so, when I go out, am I one that would be such a follower that others will follow behind, you see. That I will be so close to the Lord that others will see, well, wow, here's definitely someone different, something different. I'm going to follow that same pattern. And then I'm going to look to the Lord. So here we have the king's demonstration that he went on to carry out what he was called to do. He was sent to preach. He was sent, he could say, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to preach. But of course here, he preached to the Gentiles as well. And it's a wonderful thing that you and I, here this morning, many of us, I believe perhaps most of us, are in that category. We thank the Lord that he did reach out in his preaching to those that were Gentiles, that were without the commonwealth of Israel, outside of the covenant of promise, that he sought to bring us in to himself. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be able to follow in the steps of the king. So there we have it then this morning. The king's departure, the king's devotion, the king's disciples, and the king's demonstration. And may it be, as we've considered then this aspect of the life of Christ this morning, it will be our purpose to follow in his steps, to go on in ways that are pleasing to him. The Bible says in the book of the epistle of 1 Peter that he hath left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And as you and I go about our business, may our business be his. May we know what it is to teach, to preach. Now again, not every one of us have the same ability, but we have the individual encounters that the Lord brings upon us day by day, and we can seek to reach out. You know, as we meet together, it's not just to fill our hearts, to fill our minds, but yes, it's that, but so that we can share it, you see. We can reach out to others that are round about us and seek to share the Word of God and to seek to point a wandering sinner to the Savior who came to save them. So that may that be our portion. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful this morning that we can be about our Father's business. We remember this morning how our Savior could go about preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And may that be our business as well, Lord, to be subjects in thy kingdom, to know what it is to be loyal to thee, the King of kings and Lord of lords. May we know what it is, Lord, to have our steps ordered by thee, to follow thee all the days of our life. For we know that if we're here this morning and know thee, Lord Jesus, as our Savior, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We just ask, especially this morning, Lord, if there's one here that has never realized their need as a sinner and trusted the Savior who alone can save, that they might turn unto him, the Savior of sinners, who died on Calvary's cross, who by his own blood purchased us, redeemed us back to God. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for being such a Savior. But our hearts grieve for those that may be here this morning that are still lost in their sins, still trying in their own power to follow thee, Lord Jesus. May they know what it is to be moved and convicted by thy Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, to turn to thee, the Savior of sinners. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.